Hey everyone, this is Turd Flinging Monkey, and I'm here to talk about the latest schism within MGTOW / the Manosphere. Now this has come up fairly recently with Jess Pro Male and Alexander MGTOW, I think that's his name, I don't care, attacking me, saying that I devalue men, I hate men, that I'm wishing for the apocalypse, and all this other stuff. And an article was forwarded to me from Barbarossa's website, Shedding of the Ego, where PUAs are suggesting that a big war is needed to help rebalance the genders, and I've talked about this in my video, The Magic of Male Scarcity, as well as more recent videos where I just talk about how nature itself thrives on male scarcity. This is the reason why men produce so much sperm, the reason why men can reproduce with many women, the reason why men have instincts to address physical threats to protect women and children. Men are inherently disposable in nature, and a lot of people in the Manosphere and in MGTOW think that by saying this, that I am anti-male, that I'm devaluing men, that I'm misandric or something. They're trying to ascribe some sort of moral position based on an observation of how nature works. Now, I believe what this ultimately stems from is differences in morality. And what I mean by that is the different kinds of morality. Now, you may not know there's different kinds of morality. You may think there's just morality. But in fact, there are two systems of morality. There's master morality and there's slave morality. And they're actually very different. And depending on the kind of morality that you have, you're going to approach situations and make moral judgments completely differently. Now, the terms master and slave morality come from Friedrich Nietzsche. So I'm going to be quoting a document summarizing his position on what is master morality, what is slave morality. We'll talk about what it is within the Manosphere, what it is within MGTOW specifically, and how it applies to the situation of nature, male devaluation, male disposability. All these things are very interrelated. But in order to understand these issues, we have to understand the foundational morality. So I'll post a link to the document I'll be quoting from, but the document reads regarding master morality, quote, "In a master or noble morality, good picks out exalted and proud states of mind, and it therefore refers to people, not actions in the first instance. Bad means lowly, despicable, and refers to people who are petty, cowardly, or concerned with what is useful, rather than what is grand or great. Notice that none of this depends on the idea of free will. Good, bad identifies a hierarchy of people, the noble masters or aristocracy and the common people. The noble person only recognizes moral duties towards their equals. How they treat other people below them is not a matter of morality at all. The good, noble person has a sense of fullness, of power, wealth, ability, and so on. From the overflowing of these qualities, not from pity, they will help other people, including people below them. Noble people experience themselves as the origin of value, deciding what is good or not. Good originates in self-affirmation, a celebration of one's own greatness and power. They don't need other people to say they are good. They revere themselves and have a devotion of whatever is great. But this is not self-indulgence. Any signs of weakness are despised, and harshness and severity are respected. A noble morality is a morality of gratitude and vengeance. Friendship involves mutual respect and rejection of overfamiliarity, while enemies are necessary in order to vent feelings of envy, aggression, and arrogance. All of these qualities mean that the good person rightly evokes fear in those who are not their equal, and a respectful distance in those who are." End quote. Now, I didn't read Friedrich Nietzsche when I started my channel. I've only recently been exposed to him. But the way he describes things describes my own personal philosophy. So I'm just kind of using the terms he came up with because they're great. So, you know, a lot of this stuff has already been invented. Why reinvent the wheel? But essentially, the master morality is about self-validation, self-actualization. The morality is determined by what is useful. The opposite of good isn't evil, it's just bad or undesirable. Thus, when you see something that is undesirable, you can appreciate it for what it is. You don't hate it, you don't wish to destroy it utterly. You just wish to avoid it because it's uncomfortable and undesirable. You don't care what other people think of you. You want to be respected. You don't tolerate people's bullshit. If all of this sounds very MGTOW-ish, then it should. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who's a MGTOW has to have a master morality, but if you want to be a self-actualized MGTOW, you kinda have to, and we'll talk about why when we get to the slave morality. But as I read more and more about master morality, it becomes very clear that a master morality is important for anyone seeking self-actualization and internal validation. You really can't have internal validation without a master morality. Pretty much impossible. It's a contradiction. But now let's move on to slave morality. The document reads, quote, "Slave morality begins with the rejection of master morality. It does not and cannot stand on its own. The traits of the noble person are evil, not bad, and what is good is their absence. Its focus is the relief of suffering. Whatever is useful or opposes oppression is morally good. So pity, altruism, and a lack of interest in oneself are good. In opposing the noble morality, it also encourages humility and patience. It questions the apparent happiness of the noble person, rejects hierarchy, and argues that morality is the same for all. But it is pessimistic about the human condition, doubting the goodness of this life, and so it sees people as weak and pitiful. So it must look to the future and believe in progress and things getting better. It lacks respect for the past, for traditions and ancestors. Finally, when slave morality dominates, there is a tendency for good people and good actions to be thought of as stupid or simple-minded." Unquote. So essentially, and I could get into Friedrich Nietzsche, I think Marcus from Groundwork for the Metaphysics of MGTOW would probably do a much better job explaining the history and all the different nuances of Friedrich Nietzsche. What slave morality is, it's a rejection of master morality and a replacement with its opposite. That's not an exaggeration. Look at all the envy going on in politics and all over the place. The way people don't just think someone who's rich or successful is bad, they're evil. The fact that they are rich means that they had to rip someone off. They shouldn't keep their money. In fact, someone should take their money away and give it to someone who really needs it. And who really needs their money? People who are pitiful. The pitiful and weak need this person's money who earned it. The fact that there shouldn't be any rich people. There shouldn't be any successful people. Riches and success are frowned down upon. Rich and successful people are evil. It's the weak and pitiful that are the good moral people. This victim status bullshit. This is social justice. What I think is going on is you have these men who have a slave morality, and they may not be social justice warriors. You see this with the white nationalists. They're not allowed to be racist like the Black Lives Matter people or the La Raza people, or I'm not even sure if there's like an Asian racist movement. There probably is. Whatever Asian racist movements are out there, they're not allowed to join their own group. They're not allowed to have their own like white racist, White Lives Matter group. So they're not allowed in the social justice party. So they have to form their own social justice party over here, and that's like these white nationalist groups, the alt-right, that's where they come from. So they've been kicked out of the social justice party, so they form their own little group. Anyway, to get back to the whole point about MGTOW and the Manosphere, what you have in the Manosphere, and unfortunately within MGTOW, is you have men who want to create their own feminist movement, who just refuse to let go of women being evil, because they have a slave morality. They don't understand that female nature is bad. It is undesirable. That's why you should be a MGTOW. You should not engage in long-term relationships. You should not engage in marriage under any circumstances. It's a terrible deal. But that doesn't make women evil. It just means that their nature is undesirable. It has to be controlled. And until it can be controlled, because right now it can't be, because any technique that a man could conceivably use to control a woman's nature is going to be called abuse. And I'm not talking about violence, I'm talking about anything. So within this system, within this gynocentric system, being a MGTOW is the rational choice. But it doesn't make women evil. It doesn't really even make the system evil. The system is built on self-interest. Politicians pander to women because they're the voting majority. That's democracy 101. So even the politicians are just looking out for themselves. They're trying to win elections. And when you have a group that's 51% of the population, that's who you pander to. That's how you win elections in a democracy, is 51%. So what do? Well, if you have a master morality, you observe the situation, you would determine what is good and what is bad, and you avoid the bad. And you don't give a shit about what people think. That's the message of my channel in a nutshell. Now, if you have a slave morality, you call everybody evil. Like, one of the things I hear is, like, we need to restore the value of men. We need to fight the misandry in society. But that's what the MRAs do. You can't change societal expectations or the way people think or feel or talk about men any more than you could change the laws. So if the MRAs have been unable to change the laws for whatever, 100 years, however long they've been around, what makes you think a bunch of YouTube videos are going to get society to value men anymore? It's a fool's errand. It's not going to work. But it also exposes that you have a slave morality, and that's actually holding you back. Having a slave morality means you constantly care about what other people think of you. You're not going to reach this sense of internal validation, of self-actualization. Like, some of these guys who just talk about how much they hate this and how much they want this person or that group to die and how evil everybody is, just think about all the energy that that's sapping from your life. That energy that could be put to better use. You could choose to be happy. You know, when you have internal validation, when you're self-actualized, you can choose to be happy. You can live in the moment. You can be happy even in a gynocentric society. Freedom is yours for the taking. You're the one holding the key to your own shackles. And you're sitting there clamoring your chains together, waiting for someone to let you out when the key is in your hand. You just have to unlock the shackles and walk away. Society is not going to change. And when I explain the sexual dynamic, the way nature made men inherently disposable, it doesn't mean I'm devaluing men or wishing for some World War III so many men die that there's going to, you know, women will appreciate men. I'm just describing what will actually happen. If there was a World War III, if a lot of men did die, women would appreciate men. Their nature wouldn't change, and once the male population stabilized, they would go back to being feminists, essentially, more or less. It's a cycle. I've talked about this over and over again. I'm not excusing female behavior. I'm just describing how it works. Do you want to understand female nature? Do you want to understand human nature? Or do you want to call everybody evil and live in a fantasy world where somehow, some way, women and men are going to be equally valued in society? It's never going to happen because of sexual reproduction. As long as men produce millions of sperm, billions of sperm, and as long as women only produce a handful of eggs, as long as a woman's reproductive window is only a few decades, whereas a man produces sperm the entire time he's alive from puberty until death, as long as these things are facts, as long as sexual reproduction works the way it does, it's never going to change. It all comes back to that. I'm just telling you how it is. And in return for telling you the truth, I'm being called evil. I'm being accused of devaluing males. I'm being accused of being anti-male. And all I can do to help hopefully some of you understand is to point you to the master versus slave morality. Do you want to be a master of your own fate, self-actualized, internally validated, or do you want to be a slave? Freedom is yours for the taking. That's all I gotta say. This is Turd Flinging Monkey. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time.